to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Diana Grayer, and next to me is my partner and co-host, Sheridan Gohl. This is our independent show tonight, and it's all about freedom and talking about freedom.
In studio, we have our guests with us tonight. We have Rachel, Joyce, Lisa, and Jake. They are all related. Rachel and Joyce are wives, and Lisa is their daughter, and Jake is her son, their grandson. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
All right, there they are. So anyway, we also have two other guests, and we have Grace and Jasmine De La Torre. Did I say that correctly?
You did.
So go ahead and say hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. So just like Diana said, tonight is in honor of Independence Day. It is our annual tradition to do a show on freedom right around July 4th, and this is the night before, and we figure everyone's out watching fireworks, but because we are podcast and archived, we are here whenever you need to listen to some great and compelling radio. Before we start our interview, we are going to go to Greg Moralia, Outbeat Radio member, with news and events, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Good evening, this is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for Sunday, July 3rd, 2011. In the wake of New York becoming the sixth state to legalize same-sex marriage, some LGBT activists like Dan Savage and Courage campaign chair Rick Jacobs think President Obama isn't taking a strong enough stance on marriage equality at the federal level. In a speech he made just prior to New York's historic vote on same-sex marriage, the president didn't take a position on the issue, but did praise New York for the debate taking place and said that decisions about marriage equality should be left to individual states. According to a new report from the Williams Institute, a think tank at the University of California in Los Angeles, Guerneville has the highest population of same-sex couples in the Bay Area, with almost 8.7% of all households headed by two men or two women. The report also cited Sonoma County as the California county with the second largest population of same-sex couples at 14%. Only the county of San Francisco is home to more same-sex couples with 33%. Authors Gary Gates, PhD, and PhD candidate Abigail Cook used data compiled from the 2010 census. Same-sex couples are identified in households where person one describes his or her relationship with another adult of the same sex as either a husband-wife or unmarried partner. The census identified 125,516 same-sex couples in California, which amounts to nearly 10 out of every 1,000 households. That number is broken down into 53% female couples and 47% male couples. 21% of those 125,516 couples are raising children. Dr. Gates said, "There's little doubt that the 40 years of LGBT tourism to Guerneville changed the town's makeup. In all of California, only Palm Springs has a larger proportion of gay and lesbian households. Data are starting to show that retiring LGBT people appear to be moving their permanent home to known gay vacation destinations. Guerneville's seen a marked reduction in LGBT tourism since last September's closure of the Triple R Resort, which included a popular bar and restaurant. The downturn started after the terrorist attacks on 9/11, and businesses at the resort town are still struggling to recover. The town's dance club, Club Fab, closed 3 years ago, as did another gay bar, which left the town with only one gay bar and a few gay-friendly bars. However, Guerneville restaurants, resorts, shops, and many other businesses are in fact still LGBT-owned. The town is still seen by most LGBT residents of Sonoma County as the heart of our community. Guerneville's been home to the Sonoma County Pride Parade and Festival for the last 3 years. Many residents moved to the Russian River area when house prices were more affordable than San Francisco. Many others had owned weekend homes in the area and have kept their residences in other Bay Area towns or have settled in Guerneville on a more permanent basis. Annie Botel, who moved to Guerneville from San Francisco 8 years ago, said, There's a long-time history of the Russian River being a gay and lesbian tourist destination, dating back to the late 70s, when many of us fell in love with the place. I wanted to have a space and land to farm vegetables, and I'm very happy now. Now here's your calendar of events for the coming week. On Monday, July 4th at 1 p.m., march with the Napa Valley Unity League in the Independence Day Parade in downtown Napa. After the parade, all LGBT folks are invited to a barbecue at River Point Resort at 500 Lincoln Ave in Napa. For more details, contact Josie at 707-315-5799. On Tuesday, July 5th, from 6 to 7:30 p.m., the trans group will meet at the Positive Images Center at 312 Chin Street. This group supports trans-identified and questioning persons, as well as family, friends, and allies. And on Wednesday, July 6th, at 6 p.m., Marin Women Seeking Women, an informal social group, will gather at Jason's Restaurant, 300 Drake's Landing Road in Greenbrae. And on Saturday, July 9th, from 10 a.m. until 5:30 p.m., Food for Thought, Sonoma County AIDS Food Bank Drive happens at the Guerneville Safeway, the Bicentennial Safeway in Santa Rosa, and Fircrest Market in Sebastopol. And if you have an event you'd like to share with our listeners, please tell us about it by going to our own website at outbeatradio.com. Just click on Outbeat Radio News. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Have a great holiday weekend. Now back to Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Grayer.
And welcome back. If you just joined us, this is Outbeat Radio, Living Proof with Diana and Sheridan, and we have some amazing guests in our studio tonight. It's all about freedom, folks, and we have Rachel and her wife, Rachel and Joyce Sutter, along with their daughter, Lisa, and her son, Jake, their grandson. So welcome back, you guys, to the show, and we'd like to begin our questions.
Hello, this is Diana speaking. So Joyce and Rachel, we want to know about your relationship. We want to know who you are. Tell us a little bit how you guys met. That'd be a great start.
We met about 47 years ago, give or take a year or two. And I was with a friend of mine going to college. He was a senior in high school, and he wanted to go pick up his girlfriend at the teen center. And his girlfriend just happened to have a friend, says, can we take a friend home? Which happened to be Joyce. And so that was where I met her. And of course, I fell in love instantly. I mean, it was like love at first sight. We got off to a little rocky start because I made a date right away for what I thought was Friday night. She thought it was Thursday night. I showed up on Friday and I was in deep hot water. Not a good way to get started, but we worked through it, obviously.
Joyce, you want to add something to that?
I guess for me, it wasn't love at first start, but I was like, you know, so young. Yeah, I'm 3 years younger than Rachel. Yeah.
But something kept you there.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many years again?
45?
45 married.
45 married. 45 yeah. Oh, yeah, 47. Married. Okay.
And 2 years, she obviously, was, together.
Right. She was only that. She was only 16 when we met. We had to have her parents' permission to get married.
And how was that?
Iffy, because the day of the marriage, her mom started saying, she says, I don't know if I should do this. We were at the courthouse, and she like,
So you two married man and a woman.
Yes.
Right.
And so now there's a change.
Right. Actually, we were married.
Yes.
We were in that format to the public for about 42 or 3 years.
And then what happened?
Well, I've been transgendered all my life, but kept it very, very hidden from everybody. And I came out full time 2 years ago, about 2 years ago now. At work, I was kind of full-time with Joyce for a while before that. I'll let her tell a little more about that. But
so you say you're transgendered most of your life that you remember. How far back?
As far back as I can remember. I was I remember always wanting. I didn't know that I was transgendered per se. I mean, it wasn't like, oh, I should be female. But I wanted to play with my sister's dolls and wear dresses and high heels and didn't like the fire trucks and guns and that stuff at all. And I knew, without anything being said, I knew that I wasn't supposed to act that way. my dad was a prison guard, and he was one of these guys that when he said jump, you got in the air and waited for the next command. And I don't know as he ever said you. I know a few things he said subtly, like, "Oh, boys don't cry. You can't cry." So okay, well, I can't cry. And boys don't wear dresses. So, oh, well, I can't do that. And I remember when I was about 6 years old, and I don't remember the exact incidents, but I know there were several, and I had to be very careful about not getting caught playing with the dolls. And I was very upset, and because I couldn't do what I wanted to do. And I was out in the front yard between two cars, and I was going to wait for a truck to come along and run out in front of the truck and end the pain. Thank goodness the truck didn't come along, because I've had a great life since then. But I had to work really hard at proving I was what they wanted me to be.
Rachel, how old were you when you wanted to run out in front of the truck?
I was about six. I remember very clearly the where we lived and everything. And we lived there from age five to about 11. And I know I wasn't older. So I'm guessing six, plus or minus a year, about that. And at that same house, so prior to age 11, I was I was out in my dad's vehicle out in the driveway, and I tried to unscrew my penis with a tire wrench. Oh. It didn't come off.
Wow, so there's something inside of you just kind of just couldn't deal with just being closed in and locked in as you were.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things that you suppress, you deny. I mean, it was a choice of either live the way they wanted me to or die. That was the choice, even though I didn't realize it since then. I was at a thing the other day, one of the panels I was on, and I realized that I said that's the only time I ever tried to commit suicide, but I realize now I did a lot of risky behaviors. And I even remember, I'm a pilot, and I remember flying like, oh, yeah, if this thing runs out of gas or the engine blows up, that'd be cool. I'd die, and nobody would, you know, it'd be an honorable way to go. And I built and drove a race car and stood up on a bicycle going down the hill. I got, you know, 4 stitches on my forehead. A lot of subtle things, and there's a whole bunch of other risky behaviors that was probably a subtle suicide attempt.
So what did you do from six on? I mean, how did you get to this point? I mean, that's a big span, but, you know, what happened in elementary school and high school? I mean, you just kind of stuffed?
Or? Exactly. Elementary school was kind of hell on wheels because I got bullied, and I didn't know why. Early on, I didn't present male or female because that wasn't allowed. But I suspect the fact that I played with dolls and I had preference. I probably talked to the girls about dresses and stuff. Or there's subtle things that people kind of, you know, like the animal kingdom, they detected that, oh, he's different, you know. And so after grade school, we moved schools. And I realized that getting beat up was no fun. And I guess I had to up the ante a little. And so when I went to the next school, I come out swinging, so to speak. Okay, I'm going to be super macho, so nobody's going to give me a hard time. And this school was a lot more subtle. And, well, what's your problem? Why are you attacking us? But I did all the male things. I played football, got letter 5 years in junior high and high school, got a football scholarship to college. And, you know, like I said, I was a pilot and race car driver and did all these things that males do, you know, joined the Air Force. I'm going to prove I'm male, you know, I'm supposed to be male. I'm going to, you know, maybe this female will go away. Got married, had 3 kids, did all that stuff, which a lot of transgender do to try to deny it and stuff it down. But eventually it just kind of builds in you and the kids left home. And it's like, okay. Can't keep that down anymore. So, and I'll let Joyce tell you a little about the interaction with her.
Yeah, I'm sitting here listening to this amazing story of yours, Rachel, and a couple questions are just racing through my mind. Like, Joyce, were you aware of all this that Rachel was going through? And when you had your kids, were your kids aware? So I'm really curious, and I know the listening audience is as well. Joyce?
No, I wasn't aware at all. Not until, what was it, like 1992 or something like that, when I was getting into CODA because I needed some support. I had just had a bad relationship, breakup with my mom, and I had to let my sister take care of her. She was 85 and getting senile. Rachel would cross-dress while I was gone to the CODA meeting. And I was in denial. Here in CODA, you're supposed to be getting out of denial. I was just still in it. I just thought it was a passing thing. And I didn't like it. But before then, when we were first met and everything, I thought Bob was wonderful. She was Bob, was her name, Bob, and everything. And not a clue, nothing, absolutely nothing.
So I'm going to interrupt you. You were at CODA meetings, and Rachel crossed, or Bob cross-dressed while you were gone. How did you know?
Actually, I need to correct that. I was dressed while she was gone. I cross-dressed for about 65 years.
Duly noted.
Yeah. Anyway, she has told me later, sometimes she would go for a ride in the car dressed, which I didn't know. And I don't know, to me, I guess it wasn't very much that she did. There was a time where she tried to tell me how she was feeling, and I was depressed because I had my own issues, psychological issues. I have PTSD, and so it's like, I have my own stuff here, and what do you want? And that was in like 95, because I remember what house we lived in. So that was way back then, and I still didn't have a clue. And here's a good thing. I would get her, I would get Bob these boxers, like for Christmas, boxers decorated, or Valentine's Day boxers, you know, not the tight-fitting ones that women wear. And she would never wear them. They'd just sit in the drawer, and I still didn't get it. I did not get it. And, yeah, so I was clueless. So, yeah, it took a while, but when I finally got it, I got it. And then when I finally got it, I encouraged her to keep on with it and get back into counseling and do whatever you had to do, because you had to be Rachel, who you are, you had to be her. So I realized how unhappy she was. And I had no idea when she was young that she wanted to kill herself. So, yeah, it's been quite a process.
Thank you for being so real, Joyce.
Sure.
We don't often really hear from partners and spouses, right? It's just amazing that you can be so authentic. I'm remembering when we met you at Pride, Rachel, you said, yes, this is my wife, Joyce. We've been together 47 years, and when I transitioned, she's still stuck with me. So, Joyce, what made you stay?
Oh, my gosh. Well, let's see. When she was Bob, I would say, oh, yeah, we're really committed, or maybe we should be committed. I joke about it, yeah, because I had friends like in CODA that were single or divorced, and I didn't want them to be jealous of me for having a long-term relationship. And, you know, it was hard work. No matter what gender you are, it's hard work. So I don't know. I was angry at first, and through the process off and on, I thought I should just leave. But I just couldn't. We just have too strong a relationship, I think, and a lot of years and three kids. And, I just didn't want to eventually, after I got educated and understood.
I just remember asking you at Pride when we met you, so do you consider yourself a lesbian?
Oh, yes, I do, yeah.
Could you say more about
that? I'm proud of it, yeah.
Why are you proud? How do you feel?
Well, when you interviewed me at the Parade, I did say that when Rachel was Bob, and if I would get mad at her because of my issues, my PTSD, I would get mad a lot, so not saying it's her. And I would say, I should have been a lesbian. I should just be a lesbian. I should just leave and be a lesbian. And then it's funny because now I am, so, and it's good, yeah.
I'm curious what Bob replied to that.
Who knows?
Do you remember, Rachel, what you said?
I remember her saying that, and it kind of went over my head, to be honest with you, at the time, because I think I was so into, my own crap. But I'm certainly glad she decided to stick with me, I can tell you that.
So do you label yourselves as a lesbian couple?
Very much so.
Yeah.
I was into a doctor the other day, a dermatologist, and he kind of knew a little bit, and he said, so I told him I was transgender. Oh, you always have to tell your doctors, or I do, in case there's meds or, you know, something that's important to know that. And he said, and I asked him, I said, are you okay with it? Oh, yeah. He says, I'm certainly fine. He says, do you mind me asking questions? And he asked him. And one of them, he said, oh, you must like guys now. And I says, no, I'm a lesbian. He says, what? You're a lesbian? He says, how, you know, says, I've never heard that before. I said, well, you have now.
There goes that heterosexist stuff, huh?
There you go.
Yeah, so we're going to take a break, and when we return, take a small music break. When we return, we're going to be speaking with Rachel and Joyce's daughter, Lisa, and her son, Jake. Would you go ahead and introduce the next song? It's by Coyote Grace. Tell us the name of it and why you'd like us to play it on this show.
Oh, yeah, the song is Picture Frame. And I just love it because I can totally relate. Joe was once a woman, and Ingrid and Joe were lesbians. And then Joe decided, or I don't know Joe's name, decided to be a man. And it's all about how she put their pictures away, and her lesbian friend is gone, but she has another friend, Joe. And it just really, I cry every time I hear it yet. So
thank you so much. It's the best song for this show. Enjoy, everyone. Just filled with pride.
walked right out the door. Well, I buried us in a picture frame. The dust grows thick now on our name. But I love him still the same. But I'll never be the same.
Welcome back to Living Proof. If you just joined us, we are talking with Rachel and Joyce Sutter, and now we're about to talk to their daughter, Lisa, and her son, Jake, their grandson. So, hi, Lisa.
Hi.
And hi, Jake.
Hey, what's up?
What's up? So, Rachel and Joyce just talked to us about their, when they met, and Rachel talked about how it was when she suffered a lot of bullying. And we're curious how, when she went through her transition, she said about 2 or 3 years ago, how that was for you. So, Lisa, could you speak about that?
Yeah, I can. I remember them coming out and telling me, parked off the roadway in the van, and had a letter written with the information on Robert Sutter becoming Rachel Sutter. And, you know, it was very funny. My mom started to cry when she heard us read it, and I honestly looked at her and said, "Why are you crying? It's all okay, you know. There's nothing wrong with that, you know. I mean, I have no judgmental things against it, and so I was okay with it. And I mean, I was in shock. It was kind of because the only clue I had was they had taken me to their friend's house who was playing piano, and I was like, this is obviously somebody who is transgendered. And I picked up on that, and I'm thinking, why are we here? And that's when, then after that, they told me, you know, they parked the van and told me. And so I was like, oh, now it makes sense. So, yeah, I was okay with it.
So it was a letter, I want to get this clear, from your mom?
It was a letter from Rachel becoming transgendered. Oh. And it was a picture of her as a female, and she was still dressed as a male at the time. So I saw that, and I had to realize, you know, this is, you know, it took me a long time to realize the transition, the actual getting used to my dad being in dresses and stuff like that. And then, like, for the first week or two, I was kind of nervous and, like, about it. And I had questions, and I had to ask, you know, like, am I losing my dad, or, you know, am I still going to have a dad? And it was interesting, you know. She's like, no, you're never gonna, my mom told me, you know, you're not going to lose your dad. You still have your dad. And then I just realized, you know, it's just my dad dressing and being a woman, and it's all okay.
Did you have any clues? I'm just curious about the beginning. Did you recognize anything? Because I know your mom, Joyce, said she didn't see anything or recognize anything.
Well, you know, I noticed that my mother Joyce was getting upset, and I didn't know what was quite bothering her. But as far as Rachel goes, I mean, she even pierced her ears, and I didn't get it. So, no, I didn't have any really clues. I mean, they were dropping clues. In fact, I didn't get the clue. I didn't understand the clues until after she told me she was transgendered, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I didn't get it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how often you've heard your mom speak like this before. So I'm curious to how you felt listening to their story, listening to them share with us in the audience.
Well, I've heard the story before from them. I mean, you know, we all went through it together. And so I'm, you know, I've seen the pictures of my dad dressed as a girl as a kid, because sister dressed him up as a girl, and he got away with it, or she got away with it once then. And so, you know, I mean.
So you were born this way, or you were raised to be so compassionate and open and loving like this?
I think I'm just that type of person. I can take in changes really well. And when life gets hard, I just pick it up by the seat and run with it.
I'm curious, Lisa, how old were you when your parents told you about Rachel?
I think 35 years old.
So you're 38 or...
Yeah, I'm 38 okay. years old now.
Okay. Wow. Compassionate.
Thank you.
I'm sure people listening wish they had children as understanding and compassionate as you are. So you had your son.
Yes,
already.
I did.
Already. So Jake, come up yep. to the mic. Tell us your experience of your grandfather, now your grandmother. How was that for you?
Well, I was in the car with them when they pulled over, and I read the letter too. So it was pretty much the same time. I was in about seventh grade when it happened. I read the letter and I was like, yeah, I don't really have a problem with this. Like, it was weird for a couple of weeks, sure, but then, you know, you just get used to it.
What was going on in the couple of weeks? I'm just curious how you were, like, talking. You were concerned about telling your friends or, you know, what was going on for you?
Well, like, I didn't know if we were going to be working on cars together or doing all kinds of that kind of stuff. Like, if she still was motivated. I don't know. Just wondering what was going to happen.
That makes sense for a young man, huh? For a boy your age to want to know what grandpa's up to around the mechanics.
So you're, how old are you now, Jake?
16.
So then 3 years ago, you were?
About 13 or 14.
So 13 or 14.
And when it happened.
My experience with 13 and 14-year-old boys is that they're not very accepting. And I'm curious how you... It sounds like you were accepting, which is fabulous. I'm sure your mom was a really good role model for you, yeah?
Yeah, I just don't really, like, let it bother me. Like, why would I care? It's someone else's, like, life. Like, it doesn't matter to me. You can be what you want to be.
Right. Thank you for that. I'm sure everybody listening is, like, they're going, who is this kid? But my question to you in following up is how... was that for you with your friends and school chums?
It's kind of weird at first, but, you know, all my friends just get used to it.
How do they get used to it? What do you mean?
Like, they don't really care. I don't think any of my friend, like, really judge them. I try to, like, let them know beforehand, though.
What do you mean you try to let them know beforehand? Before what?
Or, like, before we're going to hang out with them or something, like, I'll tell them so that they're not like, whoa. That's grandpa.
How do you explain? I'm curious what you say to them.
Like, my grandfather is transgendered, so don't be shocked.
Wonderful. Okay, great. Listen, I'm just curious, when you listen, Rachel and Joyce, to your daughter and your grandson, what's happening when you listen?
It's very awesome. I'm going to throw in a little bit more. Jake is awesome. Right away, he gave me hugs, calls me Rachel in front of his friends. We hug in front of his friends. And he told me after he read the letter that he'd learned about that in school. And I thought, how awesome is that? They're teaching it in school. About time. So that's really good. And I got to tell you, my therapist, Jan Ogren, helped me write that letter. And we worked on it for about 3 months to get it right. And it was really, I recommend it to anybody. Don't just blurt out what you are. You know, think about it. Get some support from a therapist, preferably. Have your ducks lined up before you come out.
Great advice. But I want to ask you about, what kind of work you're doing together that Jake loves to do with you? Are you continuing to put on those rubber gloves?
Yeah, I still do. We haven't too much recently, but we still have to. We restored a 67 Fairlane, and he's been doing it. We've had that car about 15 years or so, 13, 12 years, whatever, quite a while. And 12 years, okay. And he was in there when he was so little, I could hardly hold a wrench. He was helping me on the other end of the underneath or over the car or whatever. Yeah, he's awesome.
Well, that's so wonderful that you still have that relationship.
And I remember after I transitioned, I was under there with this wig on. And like, that doesn't work very well.
And we'll be back after this music break. Well, welcome back to Living Proof, and we are in studio with Rachel and Joyce, and they are being joined by Jasmine and Jasmine's mother, Grace. Hello, Jasmine.
Hey.
Hello, Grace.
Hello.
Before we start, Joyce wanted to say something. Joyce?
Well, it was regarding our grandson, Jake, and Lisa. Anyway, I'll just say it now because I am so glad they accepted us because, like Lisa said, I was crying. I guess I don't remember, but I was so scared that they wouldn't, and all that just would have killed me. Mm-hmm. So I am so glad. I love them both so much. Love you. Thanks. That's all.
Thank you, Joyce.
You're welcome.
So, Jasmine and Grace. Jasmine, you are 18.
Yep.
All right. And Grace, you're Jasmine's mom.
Yes.
So, Jasmine, let's start with you and how you are in the world and how you identify.
I identify as a transgender female.
And can you just elaborate, like, how old were you when you decided that you wanted to be a girl?
As long as I can remember, really. For me, I don't know. I just knew. It's something that I can't really describe, you know? But it was just a feeling that I knew who I was, who I should be. And ever since I was little, like in kindergarten, the teacher would be like, okay, all the boys stand up and all the girls stand up for like the attendance thing. And I'd stand up when the girls would stand up and I would get in trouble. And like they used to have a dress up closet and I'd put on the little fake earrings and me and my friends would pretend like I was like the bride and we would get married with each other. It was kind of cool. I don't know. I always hung out with girls. We pretended like we were witches and fairies and that's pretty cool.
So at school, so how, when you stood up, when they say, okay, girls stand up, I'm curious how you got in trouble. I mean, what did your teachers do? Because it sounds like, did you do this every day when that happened? Or
My teacher would just be like, you're not a girl. Don't stand up when the girls stand up. And I would just feel really uncomfortable. Yeah. I mean, the girls were okay with it, but the boys would be more like, you're not a girl. You shouldn't be standing up, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know. The guys had more of a problem with it than the girls did.
Did you ever go home and tell your mom about it?
Yeah.
You're smiling. Come on. Let's hear it.
Yeah. Well, she kind of knew because every day I would, because I went to this daycare center and the people at the daycare center, I'd come to school with like mascara on and the counselors would paint my nails. They were really supportive. And my mom would be like, why are your nails painted? I'd be like, oh, I was over at daycare and they painted my nails for me. Aren't they pretty?
You let the daycare people get you. Mom, so speak about that. How was that for you, Grace, when your son came home with nails and polished and eye makeup or whatever else?
Well, it was kind of funny because I think I kind of remember now. You know, of course, you always consult with your friends, and I thought, well, you know, at that time he was painting his nails, and he was the bride, and of course I got calls from the teacher about her standing up when she should have been standing up when they were calling the boys instead of the girls, and Jasmine's always been adamant about everything in her life. When she does something, she just does it, so there was no way for me to tell her not to do it, because I knew that she would do it anyway, so I consulted with my friends and they said, well, sometimes boys do that because they kind of want to be like their moms. And I thought, well, it's a little different than just that. And I just remember having that thought, like, oh, well, that's good advice, but it's just maybe a little different than that. So I think I always knew.
You always knew what?
That Jasmine was Jasmine.
I mean, how is it different than if you were raising a son who was going to be gay? What's the difference for you?
Well, you know, actually, Jasmine kind of helped me with that. Because when she first came out, she told me that she was gay. And so I said, okay. You know, she was probably around 9 or 10 years old. And I said, okay, I can live with that. You know, it wasn't until later that she came out that she was transgendered. And I have to confess, at that point, I really didn't know what that was. But you know what? If anything, if you could learn from your children, I have. And so Jasmine kind of led us down the path to let us know in our family what transgendered is. And so
I'm curious to how your dad, Jasmine, your husband, is dealing with this transition or have dealt with it. How has that been for your family?
I think it was a little hard at first. I really do. And I don't think it was because it was an acceptance thing, because I have a pretty incredible husband. I just think more of us not knowing exactly what it was. And I remember the day that Jasmine came out to us, we had a family meeting. She said, we're calling a family meeting right now. You know, okay. So we got in the front room. She went to call the family meeting, and she said, well, I'm transgender. And she'd by that point, she'd already been wearing dresses and everything. And so my husband and my son and I looked at her and said, duh. We knew. So I think I remember one day, a little while after that, my husband was vacuuming the front room and Jasmine had came in, and I was in the kitchen. And so I guess I was kind of eavesdropping, and I heard my husband ask Jasmine, are you sure? You know, and I remember Jasmine said to my husband, Dad, would I go to school every day and take this abuse and everything else if I wasn't sure? And my husband said, you know what? You're right. And I think after that, it was just, we went full steam ahead, make sure that we give Jasmine the support that she needs to be who she needs to be.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm noticing that you're really emotional over there. What's happening? What's going on? You'd like to share?
I think that when you're a parent of a transgender and you see these things go on, you know, Jasmine has put up with it. She's the bravest person I know, besides probably Rachel. And when you see that your child is going to school and being abused, and you see that, you know, she's riding the bus and she's being abused, and you see that some of maybe your family members don't quite accept on the other side. You know, as a parent, you know, I see Jasmine as doing everything and all the hopes that I had before she came out. But others sometimes don't feel that way. And so it's, you know, my husband and I talk about it all the time of, you know, being in a place where we're kind of scared, you know, that there's not others that accept like us and what that means for Jasmine. And so that's the part that's kind of the hardest for us, I think, is that seeing the reactions of others sometimes that are just not so kind and not so accepting. And so sometimes that, as a parent, I know that it makes me very sad. And I know Jasmine is very brave, and she says, you know, education is the best policy, and I do believe that. But sometimes people aren't very accepting of education either.
Thank you for that. I'm curious, Jasmine, how is it when you're... You want to share what's going on for you right now? Go ahead.
It's really hard for me to hear that because, I don't know, to think about 3 years ago. Long time ago for me.
What was that like 3 years ago for you?
Really not fun. When I went to school, I'd have kids like, call me names like tranny and faggot and stuff like that, or throw food at me, or pull my hair, or like lift up my skirt and stuff like that, or say that they were gonna kill me and stuff like that. Like, I got death threats over text message and email and stuff like that. Or like when I had ride the bus, like if I had a friend that I was stealth to, like they would make it there, they would just tell them, like, oh, yeah, she's a guy or something like that, which is obviously not true, and it would just hurt me.
So really, really hard times about 3 years ago. You can experience that now, yeah.
Yeah.
So where's your support system coming from? Where do you, and you too, Grace, where do you guys find your support and to build, to be strong, to deal with this?
My fabulous friends and family. I have some good people in my life who care about me no matter what, just want me to be happy, and those people get me along every day. I mean, friends are good. That's what friends are for.
Do you feel the negativity has dropped off because you've changed, or is just because you're not in school anymore or whatever?
Mostly because I'm not in school anymore, but every once in a while I'll get something from, like, people that are younger than me that know me from high school, and they'll, like, say things to me, like, on the bus or, like, when I'm walking places, and I'm just like, wow, you're really immature. I'm, like, older than you and doing different things, and you're still in high school and you're making fun of me. It's kind of ridiculous.
We're going to have to close our show. The hour goes by so quickly.
This is our freedom show. So we have to ask you the question, what does freedom mean to you? So we would like to hear you start, Rachel.
Freedom means to me to be your authentic self, and freedom that we've gained over the years and gaining more all the time in, like, what's been said tonight about non-bullying and acceptance and getting around ignorance of people. So, and when I came out, it was like the weight of the world came off my shoulders. And my wife said, I'm much happier now, and everybody else says they see me glowing, and that's freedom.
Thank you. Joyce?
Just breathe. Just being myself and being who I am. And since I am a lesbian now, and that's fine, and just being who I need to be, or who I am. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Lisa?
Hi. To me, freedom means a lot. It means life to me. It means the opportunity to breathe into other spaces, as far as your soul, you know, just letting yourself be free with anything that comes your way. You know, to be able to accept things that come your way, you know, good or bad, you know, you just make the best of it.
Thank you. Jake?
Well, freedom means to me being whatever you want to do with your life. I think it's what freedom is, whatever you want to do with your life.
Mm-hmm. And being able to do that, huh?
Yeah, and being able to do it.
Thanks, Jake. Jasmine?
Freedom for me means being able to live your own truth.
Thank you. Grace, what about you?
You know, I think growing up, I think freedom meant something else to me. It meant being able to speak your mind and say what you want or do what you want. But now I really think that freedom, after experiencing this, is just being the individual that you are and being who you are.
And so this is a good time for you all to give advice to our listeners. We're here celebrating freedom to be who you are authentically, and you all have done that in your lives. Grace, a few words of advice to people listening.
You know, one thing I'd like to say is that be open. Be open to changes and to people that are different than you. And just make sure that when you are open, that you're kind and sincere in your heart and that you really mean it. And I guess that's maybe the best advice, is just to be open, because we're all different in our own ways. And so that's part of being accepting.
Thank you very much. Jasmine?
I just wanted to say, in the words of Lady Gaga, you were born this way, and this is my own words. You got to shine on, you crazy diamond, because haters are going to hate, and it doesn't really matter anyways, because you are a star.
You know what? That was wonderful. I want you to say your part again.
Okay. Because you got to shine on like a crazy diamond, because haters are going to hate, and it doesn't really matter anyways, because you're a star.
Thank you.
Yeah, what I want to touch on is the bullying issue. It's such a big thing. I have gone out on some panels to schools, and what I tell them, one of the things I emphasize is, if you bully somebody or you see bullying happen and you don't do anything about it and intervene, and that person commits suicide or gets beat to death or killed, you think you can live with yourself the rest of your life?
Advice.
Well, I like what Grace said about being open, being open-minded, because I was a person that I wasn't open-minded, and I just did what my parents taught, and so I've come clear to the other end.
Lisa and Jake, we'd really like some advice from you, maybe for other families who are going to go through a transition of parents, or maybe for friends to be more open or something. So who would like to start? Just advice, maybe one or two sentences, words from the wise. Do you have anything,
well,
Lisa?
Yeah, I think that in all situations, you know, they're your family, and the love of your family shouldn't be destroyed by the way they want to dress or the way they want to be male or female. I think, you know, if that's going to separate a family, that's sad. I think that people should just stay together as strong as they can.
Thank you. Wow, Joyce and Rachel, you raised a gem.
Mm-hmm.
Jake, you have any advice?
I would just accept it and, like, if someone's, like, transitioning, like, look it up and find out more about it and just go along with it, because it's not your life, it's theirs. You're helping out someone else, you know?
Thank you so much.
Thank you all so very much. I'm really touched and moved by your stories and you allowing us to be here with you and to hear your stories. And thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.
We want to thank everybody for tuning in to Living Proof this week. We hope that you can take something away from our guests tonight and remember that you too can be living proof that you can find freedom internally and externally if you live authentically. Until next month.
Good night.
I look into the window of my mind. Reflections of the fears I know I've left behind. I step out of the ordinary. I can feel my soul. Feel
Outbeat Radio airs every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on KRCB Radio. You can learn more about all of our programs on Outbeat Radio by visiting our website at outbeatradio.com. You'll find links to archive shows and the emails for all of the program hosts. Tune in next Sunday night to Outbeat Radio for a very special Outbeat Music dance party. We'll have a full hour of dance music from back in the day to the most popular mixes playing in clubs right now. Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Grayer will be back on the first Monday of August with another edition of Living Proof.